Hallelujah. How good it is to sing praises to our God, to honor God with praise. Amen. Good morning, Trinity Church. So today we begin our annual stewardship season. And continuing our program year theme, we have chosen known and loved as the frame of our invitation to pledge. Among other scriptures, the theme draws upon Psalm 147, a poem of praise, voicing the depth of God's knowledge and love of us. This one who has created all that is, who has covered the heavens with clouds and prepared rain for the earth to make the grasses grow upon the mountains. This one who heals the brokenhearted and lifts up the lowly. This Holy One counts the numbers of the stars and calls them all by their names. And still, as if looking into the great expanse of space, its depths unplumbed, its breadth unmeasured, still does this God know each of us fully and love each of us completely. Gladdened then by this good news, together we turn toward the year to come, and we seek two important ends. First, the nurture of one another as generous, joyful partners in God's loving mission. And second, the support of this congregation's ministry for 2020. On the one hand, these goals are personal and spiritual. And on the other, they are communal and practical. During the next 5 weeks, we will honor both charges, seeking to know and to love one another more and better, all while working faithfully to ensure that we provide for the parish's ministry. More than 20 years ago, I began full-time ministry at St. Mark's Cathedral in Shreveport, Louisiana, as the lay assistant to the dean and as the lay chaplain to the cathedral school. Having served the Episcopal Church through my home diocese summer camping program, I brought expertise in s'mores and capture the flag, not so much CapEx and candlesticks. And as inexperienced as I was in congregational life generally, I was all the more inexperienced in stewardship specifically. My parents never spoke to me about their giving in the Roman Catholic parish where my sisters and I had been raised. But I suspect that their commitments, our family's commitments, were as hit and miss as our participation. It was about this time of year, then, my first fall at the cathedral, that the dean, the very Reverend Martin Luther Agnew, Jr., stopped me in the hallway outside of his office. "Morgan, I need to speak with you," he said in his deep-toned, deep South voice. I thought I could detect in his countenance and in his posture a hint of disappointment, and my heart sank. In the face of my inexperience, I was an eager and willing learner, and I saw ML as a model of the minister that I wanted to become. Moreover, not only did I want to emulate him, I wanted to please him. I wanted to make him proud. And the idea that I had disappointed him was nearly more than I could take. Following him to his office urgently, I began to cycle through all his possible concerns about my work until he finally explained, "Morgan, the stewardship committee and I met last night, and we looked at the list of those members who have not yet pledged. You may know that your last name is Allen, which means that you and Missy were at the top of that list. You can't be on that list. I need you to make your pledge as soon as possible. It's important." for you and for St. Mark's. Now, I was too embarrassed to admit to ML that I did not know what a stewardship committee was. And I was cynical enough to wonder, you know, I work at the church. Do I still have to pledge? I mean, shouldn't I be exempt or something? They just gave me this money and now they want to take it back? Keeping my questions to myself, I thanked the dean for the reminder and dutifully, I carried a pledge card back to my office. In 1998, my annual stipend at St. Mark's was $12,400. And before noon that day, I filled out my first pledge card for $500. And to discern that amount, Missy and I did not hold hands and pray together for a word from the Lord. Instead, I sat alone at my desk and I attempted to discern the lowest possible commitment that would not raise a concerned eyebrow from this stewardship group that ML had mentioned. And being as naive as I was, I suspected few gave more anyway. That afternoon, I brought my pledge card to the dean's office, and I braved a question. Now, ML, do you and Miss Patty pledge even though you're a priest? And to his credit, ML did not shame me for my question, though he did crack a smile. Morgan, Patty and I are joyful givers. And stewardship is important to us, not only as a priest or as a dean, but as servants of the Lord who love this church. It was as though he'd been carrying this answer in his back pocket for years, waiting for someone to ask him just exactly this question. I pressed my luck. So, do you pledge a lot? Thankfully, I had not exhausted his graciousness, and I even detected his shoulders raise with pride as he explained, "We are always among St. Mark's largest pledges. There are not more family, many families more grateful than the Agnews." Now, while by percentage, our $500 marked only 4% of our earnings, our income was so modest that we struggled to meet that commitment. Missy and I were 23-year-old newlyweds. We were making a house together, and we were learning that everything cost money. As we began our stewardship story then, we did not seek to be faithful. We sought to avoid embarrassment. As our stewardship story began, we did not consider what God wanted of us. We considered only what we wanted and wanted to preserve. As our stewardship story began, we did not ask ourselves, "How much is enough, Lord?" We attempted to discern how little was acceptable. Now, despite these middling to poor intentions, God blessed our delinquent pledge. And we, to our great surprise, we entered a life of sacrificial giving. That first year, we simply started where we were, and we kept the discipline. And I don't recall that joy was my immediate spiritual response. In such a large parish, what we had to offer felt so meager, of so little consequence to the whole. However, in time, we discovered that the commitment became very important to us. We enjoyed this sense of pride and investment the pledge afforded us. When that grand cathedral organ swelled with sound on Sundays, we felt ourselves in its mighty song. When the congregation would gather for midnight mass on Christmas Eve and the lights would dim and we would kneel together and sing Silent Night, we dared imagine ourselves in the deep magic of those prayers. And when that parish took to our complicated neighborhood, the one where Missy and I lived, with community renewal partners, we realized that we were there even when we were not. Supporting, serving, marching, every righteous step. And if the Allens were not the first pledge card in the basket the next year, I promise you we were behind only the dean himself. Missy and I have now pledged in every season of my priesthood, not because I'm the priest or the rector, but because we are servants of the Lord who love this church. And though Missy and Michael and Jenna and I, we've never been among the wealthiest members of the congregations that we've served, but like the Agnews, we are proud to have been counted among the largest pledges in every one of those congregations. And we are so honored to have made our pledge to Trinity Church in the city of Boston, to make our investment here, to claim our share, to establish our share in ministry with you. Now, at this time of year, we congregational leaders, we have a habit of speaking as though every member of the parish was born into a stewardship committee meeting. And we offer neither explication nor apology for that combination of euphemism and jargon that we use to discuss the spiritual devotions of sacrifice and generosity on the one hand, and of the practical financial life of our institution on the other. I am grateful that ML made room for Missy and me to grow authentically into the joyful givers he hoped we would become. By challenging me and making room for my dignity, he treated me like an adult. And during our Sunday morning forums between today and November 24th, the conclusion of our program this year, we here at Trinity Church will address the brass tacks of our financial life as an institution. We'll do so with candor and with clarity. And this morning from this pulpit and what follows, I hope that I will explain some of that jargon we use to provide us with a common foundation of ideas and vocabulary upon which we all might become those joyful givers God intends us to be. And so I dare remind that a steward is one who manages what is not one's own. As Christian stewards, we recognize that all we have is of God, and we return to our generous Creator a measure of what we have been given. God has chosen the church as the primary bearer of Jesus' good news. And God has equipped every member of the body of Christ with gifts for that mission. You have gifts for that mission. And we often speak of these gifts in that alliterative triumvirate of time, talent, and treasure. Not so that different members of the parish can offer one or the other, but that all of us would recognize the rich giftedness within ourselves, and that every one of us would give as fully as we can of all three. During our annual stewardship season at Trinity Church, we invite the people of this parish to make a financial commitment for the upcoming year. And it's that financial commitment that we call a pledge. Our pledge is a promise that we will make a priority of our relationship with God. And it is by that pledge we become partners in God's saving work. By that pledge, we become a part of an endeavor that is greater than ourselves, an undertaking that not one of us could accomplish alone. by our faithful pledge, every one of us has an equal share in every one of the ministries of this congregation. Hear that again. By our faithful pledge, every one of us has an equal share in every ministry of this remarkable congregation. As I have read it in Trinity's materials from earlier stewardship seasons, the standard of our Christian giving should reflect the standard of our Boston living. In Trinity Church, we should seek to give God our best, not just what's left over or only what's easy. Thanks be to God, Boston is not a city of leftovers. We live in communities steeped in history, yes, but leaning into the future. Living here, we enjoy extraordinary privileges. And attendantly, our giving should be extraordinary. The biblical standard of giving is the tithe, the first 10% of one's income. And we return those first fruits to invite God's blessing on all that we have received, the whole of our lives. For some, the tithe will be a goal to which one spends a lifetime working, while for others, the tithe will mark a minimum gift. Importantly, we do not pledge to keep the church's lamps lit or to keep our prayer dues current. We give because God has called us to give. We have been created in the very image of the divine, which is to name that we have been created generous and loving and good. The tension, of course, is that we do have a responsibility to pay the electric bills, to fund the ministry of our parish, to keep vital that instrument of salvation, the church. Therefore, our invitation to stewardship will always have those two related aims I named at the outset. Individually, our prayer is that every member of this congregation will give faithfully. And if we do, then we will have all that we need for the ministry to which God has called us. In recent years at Trinity, we have emphasized a collective financial goal in our stewardship appeal. And while our needs persist, your parish leadership for this upcoming year has not and will not set such a goal. Instead, we, as faithful stewards, have committed to give our best gifts, asking ourselves, how much is enough, Lord, rather than how little is acceptable? And we invite you to do the same. And whether that gift finds you early in your stewardship story, perhaps discerning a pledge even for the first time, whether that gift finds you aiming and working toward the tithe, or whether that gift finds you leaping from the tide toward higher heartfelt horizons, I encourage you to give from where you are and of who you are. I encourage you to trust God's eagerness to bless your commitment and to welcome the joy that will follow your faithful gift. Indeed, alleluia. How good it is to sing praises to our God, to honor God with praise. Amen.